So today we have a great example of the hiddenness of Christ, where Jesus is showing to three of the apostles, at least, that he can flip to being resurrected humanity at will. He didn't have to go to Jerusalem. He didn't have to go through the cross in order to be resurrected. Right here on Tabor, he flipped it and became glorified humanity. Out of the reach of our hands, he was out of the reach, he was glorified humanity. We couldn't have done anything to him unless he came back, which he did. He doesn't stay glorified. And the reason for that being that he had to come back for us. If he had just stayed glorified on Tabor, he would have been glorified, but we would have been still in his rearview mirror. And he didn't want to leave us behind, so he comes back. And he comes back to Peter, James, John, and they go down the mountain. And what is he going to do? He's going to go to Jerusalem. And see, this is the thing. This is what constitutes what we might call the scandal of the cross. Jesus is freely going through all of this awful treatment that he's going to get in Jerusalem. He's freely undergoing it. Now, Peter won't understand this. Now, Peter, as he's trying, even though he's here and he encounters Jesus being glorified humanity, on Holy Thursday night, Peter sees what's going down and tries to stop it the way he knows how, which is pull out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus. And I propose that's where a lot of people in our culture are today as well. I've mentioned this before. We, on the whole, as a culture, are currently in the process of wholesale abandonment of Christ. Because we look to Christ and we don't have a lot of confidence in him. He comes up something maybe, for some people at least, maybe he's more of a wimp. Or maybe he's a rug that people just walk over. What we need is someone that's going to get in there and start busting heads, pull up the gloves, and that's what we need. And see, that's the scandal of the cross. Jesus doesn't do that. He's got a lot of power, but he doesn't place it at our disposal. And so he turns to us and says, "Will you trust me? Will you trust me?" He has a lot of power. He can flip it. Holy Thursday night, he could have flipped it right away. He was glorified humanity when he encountered Paul, and Paul got bowled over and was blinded by the light. In the book of Revelation, as glorified Christ and he encountered John, John fell over as though dead. He could have done that Holy Thursday night. Flip it, and everyone goes, bonk, in the light of his glory. But he didn't. He didn't do that. There's the scandal of the cross. What do we want? Jesus, come in and just bust the heads of my enemies. Will you please just get in there with all your power? And he won't do it. Because he's not like you and I are. And as a result of that, we have what I call in our culture today, the rise of the bullies. A bully is someone who looks to Jesus and says, he's not an answer for me. I got to take matters into my own hands and start getting in there and make people pay. And we've been living with a lot of bullies. Look at the bullies of the 20th century. People that got in the way of bullies like Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. You get in the way of them, I mean, the stacks of corpses are there. And that's what bullies do. And I'm here to tell you right now that they're on the wrong side of history when Jesus comes. Because they encountered him, certainly, assessed him as useless to their cause, and abandoned him. Okay, that is a no. It's basically saying to Jesus, and against the words of the Father, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to listen to you anymore. I'm done with you. I'm going my own way. I'm taking matters into my own hands. And a lot of people died. And that's what happens. Now, maybe we don't have bullying quite on that scale today, but we have our share of them. And they're basically men and women who don't want to hear it anymore from Christ, and so they're going their own way, and they're making the lives of so many others miserable as a result. What does Jesus want us to do? Go another path. He said to Peter, the one who lives by the sword will die by it. And as we're all bullying and fighting each other for a piece of the pie, the puzzle of this society, we're actually destroying the very foundation upon which society is built. Because we're all into it for ourselves, pulling, grasping, walking over each other, and we're destroying. We're destroying ourselves. And that's what happens. How do you stave off that destructive power? It's Christ. You know, for the Catholic, the way to rest is through toil. And the way to life is through death. I mean, that's what that cross is. That's the scandal of the cross. For us Catholics, the way to rest is toil. And the way to life is through death. Without Christ, all you're left with is the toil and the death. There is no rest and there is no life. There's only toil and death. And so what we do as Catholics, we come forward with the faith in Christ who does give us rest in the midst of our toil. We need the rest. We need, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome. I'll refresh you. There's the rest. We need that rest. All of us do, because we do get weary from the toil that we undertake in this life. No Christ, no rest. No Christ and only death. And that includes at the end of our life. It will be only death. Because he is the resurrection and the life. See, this is the difference that Christ makes. And how do we get there? It's by our relationship with him. Our relationship with him. See, that's it. It's our relationship to Jesus that saves us. I could look at my life and say, you know, I've been at this, you know, as a priest for about 36 years. I've been a religious for about 45. I think I've done a pretty good job. My way into the kingdom is pretty secure. And you know what? That is the worst thing I could end up doing because it's not my own efforts that gets me in. It just isn't. It's a relationship that gets me in. It's a relationship with Jesus. And the only reason I am what I am today is because I began to listen to Jesus. The Father says it in the Gospel today. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And what's happening in our culture today is we have so many people saying, I don't want to hear it. And they stop listening. And we get the rise of the bullies who take matters into their own hands, and a lot of people end up getting hurt. When what we need to be doing is helping each other in the midst of toil, we need kindness. And as we listen to Jesus, we start to learn what kind of a Lord he is. And he's not a bully. He's actually very kind. My favorite quality or characteristic of Jesus that I've come to know as I've listened to him over the span of my life to this point, my favorite quality that I encounter in him is his utter and complete humility before truth. That's amazing. His humility before truth. As I come before him with my truth and the times when I've failed and fallen, he doesn't come on the scene to me wagging his finger at me. He's not shaming me when I'm down. He's not making fun of me. He doesn't go to social media and start busting on me. He's never done that to me in my whole life, ever. Because he doesn't treat us the way we treat each other. He's humble before the truth. And that's where we learn it. That's where we learn it. That's where we learn that kind of humility. And he's also incredibly kind. And we all need kindness, especially at the beginning. And certainly as we start weakening toward the end of our lives, boy, do we need some kindness. It really helps. It's this in-between time when we come into our strength and maybe we start to say, you know what, I'm strong enough, I don't need Jesus anymore. I'm going to do just fine all by myself. Doesn't work. It can't work. If you want to stay alive, it won't work. Because without Christ, we have no rest in the midst of toil. And we have no life after death. So, brothers and sisters, today I think the word we need to take is this word of the Father in the cloud that really does say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Discover who he is, and you will discover someone that's really worth leaning into because he's so kind. He's humble before the truth. He's not coming on the scene shaming you when you're down. For God's sakes, no. He's trying to build you up. Hey, guess what? We can start to do that for each other. Imagine that, where we can start working to help others along the way of life, which is already so often so burdensome and challenging. We need a little help, a helping hand. And that's what Jesus calls us to, rather than Peter pulling out his sword and going the way of violence and taking it into our own hands. Is that really the kind of society we want to live in? Where we have that kind of violence and where might is the only thing that makes right? That's all? Really? Is that the kind of world we want to live in? If not, we need to start hearing the voice of the shepherd, Jesus. And I just exhort you again, tune in. He's got a word for every single one of you here. And he's got something for you that he'd like you to accomplish. And he's got someone for you to become as you tune in. And as the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Listen to him.